The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to Wednesday's Racing Podcast on William Hill. I'm Sam Bridges, and on Wednesday we'll be bringing you action from Catterick, Kempton, Lingfield and Ludlow from 11:50am in the studio with Gareth Topham, Chris Pimlott and Gary Catewell taking you through all the day's action. For the moment though, I'm joined on today's podcast by John Budden, who's going to bring us three picks from the racing at Catterick. But also, John, we're going to be talking about the big news at the moment, the front page of the Racing Post. A bit of a surprise and a bit of a shame if he wasn't to run, but Sprinter Sacra's run in the Tingle Creek is now in the balance.
Yeah, in the balance, as you say, Sam, and it's it really is a big worry. I would have thought for Connections in particular, let alone ourselves, for, you know, perhaps missing the opportunity to see the greatest chaser since sliced bread. And I just feel that time is running out. I mean, if he has scoped badly and presumably therefore missed a little bit of work, we are on the early part of the week already, Tuesday, and coming up to Wednesday. The race is on Saturday. He is undoubtedly the best chaser we've seen for a long, long time. And I'm quite certain that Nicky Henderson and the owners will be, you know, determined to make absolutely 100% certain that the horse is spot on for the race. And it sounds questionable.
It does, doesn't it? And as you say, 100%, that's what we want to be seeing. That's what the racing public want to see, the horse at 100%. And of course, you mentioned the Connections as well. It is vital that, and I'm sure they will, but vital that the horse is 100%. And as you say, with a few days to go to the race, you know, recovery time is sparse.
Yes, and I think it's quite right that Nicky Henderson has issued a warning about the situation, because if in fact he said nothing and then took the horse out at the overnight stage, the owners and trainers of other horses who have entered at the 5-day stage and might have considered it's not worth going to Sandown to take on this great chaser, would mean very upset indeed to discover he wasn't running. I do think, you know, time is running very short, and I would have thought that Sprinter Sacre, you know, is going to have to make an incredible recovery if he's going to be in the lineup on Saturday.
Yeah, there's just a quote in the Racing Post today from Nicky Henderson saying, you know, he might be perfectly all right come Thursday. Horses can do this, but he also uses an example of Martin Toyo saying a fortnight ago he wasn't too clever, but you know, a fortnight to a few days, it is quite a difference, especially when you're talking about such an animal.
Yes, the time space is very short, but it is interesting. And, you know, let's hope, in fact, that the horse comes out a couple of days before Saturday in absolutely 100% condition. And then we will have a chance to see the real Sprinter Sacre in action in the Tingle Creek. But Sam, it makes it interesting if he is not going to run for the competition. It throws the race actually wide open. And I would have thought that the Connections of Sire de Grugy will be, well, certainly interested in the prospect of now going for the Tingle Creek with possibly without the Star Chaser, because Sire de Grugy has run well and won well at Sandown before now. And although he was a slight disappointment at Cheltenham last time out, where he was unsettled by an early mistake, it wasn't really a mistake, actually, he just left landed and awkwardly, and Jockey went up in the air and luckily came back in the saddle, but it seemed to unsettle him there, and he didn't give his best running. But he's a really good horse, and you know, he would have an excellent chance. Summersby's in the contest as well. Ran extremely well against Q Card at Exeter last time out, and is a grand old number. And then, of course, Nicky Henderson's got quite a good stand-in, substitute, as you might say, in Captain Conan, who has already showed that, you know, he loves jumping round Sandown, and on last year's form would seem to go well when fresh. So, you know, despite the possible absence of Sprinter Zachary, Saturday's Tingle Creek is still going to be an outstanding race.
The race kind of changes, doesn't it? You go from seeing a Sprinter Sacra and hoping that he continues his fantastic unbeaten run, but if he doesn't make it, it almost becomes a more intriguing contest in a way. Who's going to step forward from the horses you just mentioned there, some of the others in the list as well? But interesting, in front of me here, Sadiq Grigi's trainer Gary Moore saying at the weekend that he felt his horse had no chance of beating Sprinter Sacra and Summersby. Do you feel there's not much between those two, Summersby and Sadiq Grigi?
Funnily enough, I would agree with Gary Moore's assessment of Sprinter Sacre. I didn't think he had a chance of beating Sprinter Sacre, assuming that horse was absolutely spot on. But I would think he's got a very good chance of beating Summersby. Not only is Summersby beginning to get a little bit old, he's certainly an established campaigner, but I think Summersby is at his best at Ascot and also runs very well at Exeter. In the past, although he's run decently, he hasn't excelled at Sandown, and I think Sadiq Grigi is a horse who does excel at Sandown. So I think Gary Moore's being a little bit pessimistic about the Summersby angle.
In terms of Sprinter Sacra, if he isn't declared for Saturday's race, what do you think will be next then for Nicky Henderson and Connections? What will be their plan, do you feel? Maybe Cheltenham over the new year, or another race you think they might have in mind for him?
Well, there are lots of very good chases coming up in the early part of the new year. You've mentioned Cheltenham. I think probably Nicky Henderson would be very happy to go to Cheltenham with Sprinter Zachary. There's also Newbury hanging about, and again a Sandown in the early part of the year. So plenty of opportunities, and it's just a pity that this one would have been ideal, the Tingle Creek. And, you know, fingers crossed, Nicky's warned about the situation, and it's just possible that everything will be all right on the day.
It is, as you say, a perfect time, a perfect race, but also a perfect time of the year to get him out as well.
Yes, I mean, the timing was spot on for Connections. You know, Sprinter Sacre, a good race at Sandown against a reasonable opposition who makes certain that he gets a race, and as you say, timed beautifully for sort of early December, another race sometime in the new year or February time, and then to the festival. It all sort of fits in extremely well, and clearly the Henderson camp will be very upset about it, and indeed those people who were thinking of going to Sandown on Saturday, they will be extremely disappointed if Sprinter Sacre is not there.
Fingers crossed for all concerned that Sprinter Sacre does make the Tingle Creek at Sandown on Saturday. We'll have to wait until Thursday. We're waiting with bated breath to find out the results of those retesting of the horse. John, you've also been looking at Wednesday's action for us. We have races at Catterick, Kempton, Lingfield and Ludlow, as we mentioned earlier. But Catterick has been the card you've been taking a look at. You've got three races for us, the 1250, the 150 and the 250. So that the 50 races are the ones you've been looking at, and the 1250 a handicap chase this one, and Sambi Lucky is in the preliminary betting the favourite at 15-8, 3-1 Milan Royal, 4-1 Forest Side, 8-1 Discovery, and 10s the rest. What takes your fancy in this race?
Well, interesting little race. Barry Myrtle's got his horses in very good shape. He trains in Cumbria, not far from Carlisle, at a village called Ive Gill, and he bought Forest Side from Ireland at the beginning of the current season. The horse has run relatively well, and I think he's got a good chance certainly of being in the mix here. Milan Royal 2 with Harry Haynes up ran decently last time out, won't be outclassed in this, but the The two that I thought would perhaps fight out the finish are Discovery from the very much informed Diane Sayre yard, and that's got Ryan Manier on board, and, you know, Ryan has a very good record for Diane Sayre. I always look carefully to see who Diane's got to ride her horses, and if it's Ryan, then, you know, I think twice. And he, for example, rides a mare of Diane Sayre's called More Equity remarkably well. And I think he'll give Discovery a very good ride. He obviously will. And the horse is improving. So I think Discovery has definitely got a chance. But the star horse in the race surely has to be Sam B. Lucky. And Sam B. Lucky will be my selection here. Keith Reevely's got his horses in very good trim at the moment. And James Reevely's riding in an outstandingly good form. He sort of switches his time between riding in France and riding for his father, mostly here in Britain. And he's at Catterick on Wednesday. He's got a very good strike rate at Catterick. So has Sam B. Lucky. Likes Catterick as a winner here over hurdles. I thought he ran well at Sedgefield when second to Pistol Basque. That one was running at Sedgefield on Tuesday afternoon. So by the time you're listening to this, you will know perhaps if the form has been boosted or not. But anyhow, Sam B. Lucky likes Catterick is my choice in this contest.
And the Reevely's like this race as well. Won the race last year with Brave Spartacus in 2012. In the 150 race, we have a beginner's chase. Hollywell looks set to go off the favourite in this race. Currently in the early prices, 10 to 11 for Jonjo O'Neill and AP McCoy. You've got Barrakilla at 6 to 1. Scarlet Fire, 15 to 2. Star in Flight, 8 to 1. 10 to 1, Son of Flicker and the rest. Hollywell, an interesting contender for you for AP McCoy, John?
Yeah, class horse, isn't he, Sam? And I think 10 to 11 could be quite a generous price by the time we actually get to the racetrack, because Hollywell is a Cheltenham Festival winner, and I thought ran pretty well over fences first time out at Carlisle. The race was won by Many Clouds from the Oliver Sherwood stable. Oliver thinks a lot of Many Clouds, and it was a decent race at Carlisle, and Hollywell, well, he was in the end beaten quite a distance into third place, but it was a good start. And, you know, basically he is the class horse in the race. If you wanted to find something perhaps of value to finish either second, or if things don't go quite Hollywell's way, to actually win, it strikes me there are three horses who've got a fair chance. There's Barrakilla at the top. Evan Williams at Catterick. Interesting, he is raiding the North Yorkshire track from his Welsh base. And Barrakilla was twice a winner over hurdles last season, and I thought ran a respectable first race over the big obstacles at Exeter. Finished fifth, never much closer than that, but it was quite a decent race. It was won by the Twiston Davis's Red River Man, and they went a genuine gallop, and Barrakilla stayed on quite well. So I think he's got a fair chance of getting in the mix. High George comes from the inform Malcolm Jefferson stable, hasn't actually run for a long time, but Malcolm is pretty good at getting his horses ready first time out. However, the one that I would go for to chase home Hollywell is Scarlet Fire. Now, Scarlet Fire represents Nicky Richards, and his horses are going extremely well. He could have had three winners over the weekend, because Streams of Whiskey was going extremely well at Newcastle, chasing Green Flag, and if that horse had beaten Green Flag, it would have been a tremendous feather in Stream of Whiskey's cap. Unfortunately, he fell when challenging. However, there was a double for the Greystoke trainer at Carlisle on Sunday. Now, Scarlet Fire won over hurdles at Carlisle. He also ran well before that in bumpers, and I happen to note, Sam, that Nicky sent him down to Cheltenham at the open meeting for a handicap hurdle. Now, he basically had no chance in that race, but he will have actually put him, you know, pepped up and ready for this particular run over fences. And he's quite a useful horse. He's a nippy individual, and I think he'd be suited by Catterick. So I'm inclined to go for Scarlet Fire as value in this race. Hollywell is obviously the class horse, ought to win, but he'll start very, very short, and I think he'll get a good run from Scarlet Fire.
So Scarlet Fire, the value in that race of 150 at Catterick on Wednesday. And the 250, the final race that John is going to have a look at for us, is a handicap chase. And Categorical looks set to go off favourite here, looking at the forecast prices. 5-4, Honest John 7-2, or Callaghan Strand 9-2, Everand 13-2, and last year's winner Nodform Richard at 12-1, along with Noble Witness. John, talk us through this one.
Well, it's interesting to see AP stays for the last race, and he rides O'Callaghan Strand for the John Joe O'Neill team. Their horse is in very good shape. This one has yet to prove himself so far this season, but he is quite a decent performer, and you know, many people will go for the champion jockey to go out on a winner, and they might be right. Nodform Richard won this race last year. I think this is a better running, in fact, a more competitive race, and hasn't shown a great deal of form since. I just pencil through Nodform Richard. I do think Categorical has got a major chance if he's in the mood. He is a very quirky individual, Categorical, but he quite likes Catterick. Catterick and Newcastle are his two best courses, and if the ground remains dry, then it'll favour Categorical, who likes good ground, but he can sulk like us all, Sam, and I wouldn't like to take too short a price about Categorical. I do think Honest John lives up to his name. He is a very genuine sort, but he doesn't have a great deal of class. I think he will be in the mix, but he might not win. The question mark horse here is Everard. Philip Kirby and Richie McGrath, who loves this horse and gets on really well with Everard. A Musselburgh specialist, but does run well at Catterick as in addition to that. And the Kirby horses have been in marvellous form. The fact that Everard is running for the first time this season makes me feel that perhaps he'll need the run. So, quirky or not, I will go for Categorical.
So Categorical to give from your selections. A double for the Reveleys, James and Keith. Training that one as well. So, John, just wrap up your three selections for us from Catterick.
Yes, well, I'm starting off with, I hope, for horse Sam Be Lucky, who will initiate the Reveley double. I would stress the fact that Keith Reveley and his mother before him have always had a very good strike rate at Catterick. So, in the 12.50, it is Sam Be Lucky. In the 1.50, Holywell ought to win this race, but I thought Scarlet Fire was definitely the value bet. And in the 2.50, I hope Categorical is in the mood to complete the Reveley double.
Thanks very much for that, John. And you can follow the action at Catterick, as well as the cards at Kempton, Lingfield and Ludlow from 11.50am on Wednesday. Our studio team is Gareth Topham, Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell. I've been Sam Bridges. Thanks for listening to today's podcast, and tune in again tomorrow for more Best Bets and Racing Chat.
For advice on responsible gambling, contact the National Gambling Helpline or go to gambleaware.co.uk. Our staff can give you the details.